My job is relatively easy tonight. I'm just going to take you through what is in the national strategy, and I'm really interested to hear what the other speakers have got to say about how we're going to implement it. I am, John said, well, here we are. There's a picture of me here, and I think you might see this slide again. I got involved in all this in the policy side of AI in 2017 when we were asked, Jerome and I were asked to write the review for the UK government. It was Theresa May at the time. I'm now on the AI Council, and I have the pleasure of being the AI skills champion, which just means they talk to me before they talk to anybody else about skills. But I won't know all the answers. I'm not in the office for AI, and that's where the work is being done on implementation. But I can tell you what we all agreed should be in the strategy. So the review I did in 2017 with Jerome became a part of the industrial strategy. It was Greg Clark was the Bayes Secretary of State at the time, and a sector deal. I had no idea what a sector deal was when we started out all this, but that's when you get the money from Treasury, basically. I also found out that when the government says they want to do something, that's when you start the hard work of talking to Treasury about how much money you want, justifying the case, and then you still have to, when you've gone that and it's been approved, you still have to get the check. So, you know, I've learned a lot on this way, that there's a long way to go, even when something's been technically approved. So that was the first, I will focus mostly on what was announced last September. As a council, we've kept an eye on everything that was talked about in the first, in the sector deal. And most of that money has been spent now. And we were asked to produce a roadmap for the next 3-5 years, which we published in January 21. And then the Office for AI took that away and working with us and others, produced what was adopted as the National AI Strategy, as John said, last September. And that is still rolling out. And, you know, as I said, it takes a long time to actually get the money to do things. And the Office for AI is tiny. It works across Bayes and DCMS, and it has to work. You'll see in the slides, both outward facing, looking at industry, universities, the research sector, and inward to government and how government uses AI. This is a rather busy slide, but it basically captures in one slide what the AI strategy is recommending. I made them put remain rather than become, because I think it's terribly important that people know we have been an AI superpower for a long time. We're just not as big. We're never going to be able to scale up as US and China can, but we remain an AI and science superpower fit for the next decade, not looking any further ahead than that. It's all about, that first one has a bit of levelling up in it, benefits of AI adoption across the region and sector, maintaining our position, which is effectively third in the world. But for a country of our size, that is amazing. And it's because of our legacy. We have a fabulous, you know, we've been doing AI since it was called, before it was called AI. And, you know, we have all our top universities have very strong AI departments in, and others as well, both broad and specialist. And we have a fabulous startup culture too, which helps generate new companies and growth and wealth into the UK. Our problem is, how do startups become big and scale up in the UK? But that's for everybody's problem. It's something that Britain's got to tackle over the next few years. So that's about maintaining that position as a global leader. And we kept saying to them, if you take your foot off the accelerator, we'll just go backwards. Because every country in the world is trying to be good at AI and use it, whether they're going to develop it or just use it. And you look at the Canadas, the Japans, the Australias, every country, the big science countries in Europe. And I've, you know, missed a lot of countries out of that, but wants to be big in this sector. And we need to make it contribute to growth of GDP. There's a big piece in here about protecting our values and doing it in a way that's good for society, good for people, as well as good for business and for government, its government and its relationship with the citizen. And there's a strong piece in there too about how important it is for security, defense and security, that we have strong capabilities in AI and our security agencies and so on. So the outcomes, I won't go through each of them. I'm going to focus a bit later on diversity. We want to be there developing groundbreaking stuff, and we want that to be applied in our industries, and we want government, public sector to use AI to its best advantage. We want good public value for the money we're putting in. We want adoption across the country, and we want trust. We want to build an ethos of people trusting AI systems. That's not easy, and we could maybe discuss that more in the Q&A. So it's all about investing long term. You know, this cannot be something. The UK is terribly good at funding something for 5 years and then stopping and saying, well, you're off on your own now. Right? This has to be an AI forever, in a sense. AI will gradually get less sexy. Right? It will get, as the things are coming along, which will become more what's talked about, but this is going to be there forever. And as the systems get more and more intelligent, can do more and more things, we've got to keep an eye, a very close eye, on what that's doing to society and how it works in society. So ensure benefits across all sectors and regions, and governance of AI. So this strategy was all about government activity and what government needs to do in this the next 10 years. So just to take you through some of the examples of what's in the strategy, Jerome and I we put data trust. That's the idea of knowing that you trust the data someone gives you, being able to share it with someone else, being a company being able to put their trust. I can hear the feedback. The company being able to trust in the data and share their data with other companies. Lots of small companies said it's not a level playing field. The people that have got lots of data are going to win. And so we put this as our top recommendation in the original review in 2017. There's been some fascinating pilot work done by the Open Data Institute and with the Ada Lovelace Institute and the AI Council. I chaired a report on looking at legal mechanisms for data stewardship, which the Royal Society was involved, because the chief executive of the Royal Society is, of course, a lawyer by training. She took a great interest in this, and there's lots more work to do. This is becoming a very, very hot topic, this whole issue. Then there's all about how you, data is sort of at the foundation of all everything to do with the way we do AI at the moment, machine learning, deep learning, and there's adoption, driving adoption across different sectors. So the healthcare, so smart startups, big science, and purchasing, right? How does AI help people make sensible purchasing decisions, for example? That's an example. That's another example of what they're doing. Lots of reports being produced. These are the areas the Office for AI are working in with various partners. They're tiny, the Office for AI, compared to the challenge and need to partner with other organizations to do the work they need to do. So there's a guide to using AI in the public sector, the guidelines for AI procurement, which I think, I can't read it here, but I think that was done with the World Economic Forum AI Institute. The ethics piece, they do a lot with the Ada Institute and the Turing Institute on that. And there are a number of these good places looking at ethics growing up in developing in the UK. And explaining decisions made with AI. This is all about AI explainability, very important. Publishing guidelines, this is going to be really important. Best practice, how you do it. So working with the Alan Turing Institute on ethics, as I said, algorithmic decision making with the Center for Data Ethics and Innovation, machine learning with DSTL, and there's a defense and security strategy on AI coming out. If it isn't, I might have missed it, but it's definitely on its way out at the moment. It's a very important sector. And more algorithms work there with the CMA. It's really hard to pick international partners. Basically, we're part of the GPA, the Global Partnership on AI, which is a way to get to most of the world except for China, another point of debate that will come up in the society soon. Gavin's planning a meeting on that here tonight, which is good. This is led out of Canada and France, and we're a very big part of the working groups in this area, which gives us a relatively easy way of linking with a lot of different countries on this. They've signed an agreement to collaborate with the US, and there are others of those bubbling up, but it's really about resource and how much we can actually really commit to. 1 minute to go, my God. Okay, Turing Institute, UKRI. This is really important. We named, in the first review, we named the Turing Institute as the National Institute for Data Science and AI, and UKRI, they are very important partners in this. And this is another thing, UKRI is here, rather, the Turing Institute. You know, this could be a world leader. It already is, and we need to make sure it is there in perpetuity. Centers for doctoral training, very important was fellowships for giving money to bring people into AI and fund them to do great work and stay in the UK, right? And not go to industry, not go. Turing AI World Leading Fellowships, here are the people we appointed, a fabulous set of people. Notice there are five of them. Going to come back to that in a minute. And I need to just get these points in, Gavin. So this time round, we're trying to do AI for at every level, not just at the higher education level. So skills for everybody, boot camps, apprenticeships, work in schools. How can anyone get in, wherever they are, whatever their context, whatever their background, get into this sort of work as a career? And really exciting was that, and just after the AI strategy was produced, the Chancellor said he picked two things out of the strategy. 2,000 elite AI scholarships. This is for my favorite thing, which is the MSc conversion courses, which we launched as part of the first wave, which was about getting people from non-science subjects into AI. And they've been incredibly successful. He also wanted more AI world leading fellowships. And just this month, the £23 million for the 2,000 scholarships, the check has been signed. So that is happening. It's been a game changer because 50% of those scholarships have to go to underrepresented groups. And in the first round, it was women, disabled, and ethnic minority. And I think Gavin's telling me I want to finish, but that for me is the thing I want to promote the most. And we've got, as I say, £23 million announced to do more of these. And my catchphrase, of course, is if it isn't diverse, it isn't ethical. Thank you.